you noticed? We've all had lots of fun pretending to be pirates. Pirates, eh? I mean, what do we imagine pirates are actually like? Here's a picture of an imaginary pirate. Are you listening, Stu? Here's a picture of an imaginary pirate. Who's this pirate, children? I know you know Murray. Watch him all the time. Anybody watch out? What's his name? It's okay, I can use this, actually. That's fine. Yeah. Captain Hook, that's right. Famous imaginary pirate. He's a bit of a joke, really, isn't he? Even though he's a nasty chap. Here's another imaginary pirate. Now, this is what Gaius and Ralph have been imagining that they look like. But the thing about a picture on a screen is that you can't smell what a real pirate would look like. Maybe we imagine that being a pirate would be a bit glamorous, a little bit on the edge, a bit romantic. But I think close up, most girls might be a bit put off by the image, mightn't they? But yeah, perhaps we've got this romantic idea of what a pirate looks like Johnny Depp. Hasn't got as much of a beard as I thought I imagined he might have. Maybe he has trouble growing one, I don't know. You meet a pirate of these days, and this is what they'll look like. And there are plenty of pirates around these days, you know. I wouldn't want to meet these gentlemen on a cruise through the Southeast Islands, would you? I think they'd give me a warm welcome. The Maritime Organization reported 370 incidents of piracy in 2002. 10 sailors killed by pirates. And that 370 is probably only 10% of the actual pirating events in our world today. 3,700 piracies go on each year. But of course, we're thinking about pirates in the past, really, aren't we? Here's another pirate. All kinds of different pirates. This chap was a pirate. His name was Francis Drake. He was an official pirate sent by Queen Elizabeth to steal Spanish gold, but they'd stolen it in the first place, hadn't they? They had, from the Incas and Aztecs. And what about this pirate? You see, not all pirates were men. The pirate on the right, her name was Mary Read. Actually, there were quite a lot of pirates in the 18th century, female pirates. And the chap on the left has found that she's not much of a lady. But when we talk about pirates, this is the kind of pirate we're really thinking about, isn't it? Can anybody guess what the name of this pirate was? Ah, I see. We have a school teacher here who knows his actual name was Edward Teach. That's right. Can anybody imagine what his pirating nickname was? Look at his beard. It's a clue. Blackbeard. That's right. Blackbeard was perhaps the most feared and frightening pirate of all. He was a pirate at the beginning of the 18th century. And he was a terrifying figure. He used to tie firecrackers to his beard that would explode and bang as he went into fights. He'd have pistols all around him. And very often, when sailors saw him coming, they would just surrender straight away rather than pick a fight with Edward Teach, Blackbeard, the most terrifying pirate of them all. Well, I would like to let you in to two secrets about pirates. Two secrets. The first secret about pirates is that pirates are never really happy. Pirates are never really happy. They might have lots of fun, they might enjoy their pirating ways, but in the end, they aren't happy. Why do you imagine people might become pirates in the first place? Have a think, children. Put your hand up and say, well, what turns an ordinary sailor into a ruthless, wandering cutthroat? What do you think? What things might make them do that? Or any adults too, any grown-ups? Yeah, what do you think, Sam? They might be forced, yes. Quite a lot of pirates are forced into piracy by other pirates. What else? What other ideas might there be? What were they looking for? What were they feeling, do you think? Greed! That's right. I think probably the single biggest thing for most pirates is the thought that they could get something and have something without having to work for it the right way. Maybe they thought they needed it and couldn't get it any other way. And the thing is, if you get things like that, you can never really enjoy them because you know how you got them. And then, of course, there's always more, isn't there? However much treasure, however much gold you capture, there's always more that you could have. So you can never really rest until you get it. And all that wanting more means more and more fighting, more and more robbing and stealing. But are we really all that different from pirates? We probably don't cut people's throats or make them walk the plank. You see. But the Bible says, what causes fights and quarrels amongst you, amongst all of you? They come from your desires which battle within you. You want something, but you can't get it. So you kill and covet, but you can't have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. So the Bible says that so much of our strife and trouble and arguing comes from wanting things that we can't have and struggling to get them. And maybe we don't capture other people, but we still do squabble and fight, don't we, to get what we want. The reason why most of us isn't pirates isn't because we're nicer or better than somebody like Edward Teach. Normally it's because we're a bit more cowards than Edward Teach. We're less brave than him. We daren't face the consequences. We're a bit too sentimental and squeamish. Perhaps we think, well, we can get what we want better through legitimate means. But the fact is, in our hearts, so much of the time we really want things and struggle to get them. We're greedy and selfish a lot of the time, aren't we? If you don't think that that many of us are pirates, what's this? This is the treasure that most pirates go after these days, isn't it? CDs, music, computer programs. How many of us would want to put up our hands and say with absolute confidence that all the music in our collection, and all the programs on our computer, and even all the pictures on my display here today are absolutely 100% legitimate? Don't see many hands going up, do we? One or two. But how many of us could be absolutely sure that we're not pirates of one kind or another? You see, the thing is, we might think we're better than a pirate, but actually, very often we don't mind breaking some rules, do we? As long as we don't think we're hurting anyone or anyone is going to catch us. And the fact is, the world is full of unhappy and discontented people fighting and squabbling and stressing and struggling to get stuff and to have things and to be someone special and to be the most beautiful and to be the most important. And they're not happy. Not if you live like that. But I wonder about you. Are you content with your life? Or are you discontent with it? Are you happy with your things and abilities and family and friendships and possessions and your life? Or deep down, are you always struggling and striving for more? It doesn't just make you and other people unhappy when you do that. It makes God dreadfully unhappy. In fact, angry is the right word. And we can't know him or have a relationship with him if we're like that. Wouldn't it be marvelous to find another way to live that doesn't mean being dominated by getting things or being somebody? Well, here are some more words from that landlubber we've been following. Paul found the secret treasure, the landlubber's treasure, if you like. Paul said, "I have learned the secret of being content in every and any situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength." And we all know what his secret was, don't we? We know it now. His secret was to know and to believe in Jesus. And through Jesus, to know that God had forgiven him. And that God loved him. And that one day he would be with God forever. So that's the best treasure there is. Then you have the most valuable treasure there is. There's no need to fight or squabble to get more or be more. So the first secret, pirates are never happy. But in Jesus Christ, there's true contentment. Now another secret about pirates as well. As well as being unhappy, pirates are always afraid. Pirates are always afraid. And if you want to see what Edward Teach, Blackbeard, was afraid of, well, have a look and see. Can you roll that again, Stu? Can I come again? Guess whose ship this is? This is Blackbeard's ship, the Queen Anne's Revenge. All that's left of her now, in a shallow sea grave somewhere off the coast of South Carolina, I think. Is this what Blackbeard was afraid of? The lurking fear behind him? Now look very carefully. What don't you see on this ship, on this wreck? What don't you see? What very important thing that meant a lot to Edward Teach can you not see here at all? There's anchors, there's wood, there's all kinds of things. But what's missing now? Treasure. Not a scrap of treasure is left on Edward Teach's ship. He lost it all, didn't he? And on the 22nd of October, 1718, the Royal Navy caught up with Blackbeard. Two warships tracked his pirate ship down at anchor. Now, Blackbeard only had a small crew, and he'd been up drinking grog all night. But his ship was heavily armed, and with a murderous broadside, he was able to put one of the Navy ships out of the fight. He killed the captain of that ship. But the other Navy captain was a cunning man, Captain Maynard. He hid his crew below decks. He tricked Blackbeard into thinking that they'd all been killed by his cannon fire. Believing he had the chance to capture a new prize for his pirate fleet, Blackbeard boarded the Navy ship with 10 pirates, and immediately from below decks the sailors streamed out and surrounded the pirates with cutlasses and pistols. Blackbeard knew that if he was captured, he would be hanged. So he fought to the death. Blood ran across the decks of the ship. And eventually, with one blow of his cutlass, a huge Scottish sailor put an end to Blackbeard's pirating career. And so Blackbeard the pirate met his doom. And he lost not just his treasure, but his whole life. And pirates always do, don't they? That's the way it is with pirates in the end. They might fly the Jolly Roger for a while, and it doesn't matter how much treasure they find. In the end, the Royal Navy will always catch up with the pirates. And if they don't, well, the storm catches up with them. Or the scurvy. Or the rocks, or other pirates, or the crocodile with the alarm clock that follows them around wherever they go. Or maybe just the passing of time. Pirates are afraid because they know that in the end, their past will catch up with them. They will lose their heads, and they will lose their treasure. And again, are we really all that different? Jesus warned us, didn't he, by telling us that story of the rich farmer who got bigger and bigger fields, more and more crops, and did all he could to try and keep his treasure. But in the end, his life was taken away from him, and it was all lost. And just like the foolish farmer in the story, just like Blackbeard, we can spend so much of our time trying to hang on to things, can't we? Our money, our looks, trying to hold back the effect of age, perhaps. Our health, eating all kinds of things we don't like to try and keep us living a bit longer. Our abilities, training and training and training so that we can keep ahead of the pack. Even the people we love are taken from us in the end, aren't they? Are we really all that different from the pirates? We too aren't very content with our lives a lot of the time. And we too are afraid of losing things that we value. But if we know Jesus, we have not only the most valuable treasure in the world, but also a treasure that can never be taken away. In fact, even when we die, it's when we die we actually get to meet him face to face and to know God face to face and to enjoy being with him forever. So that's the second half of the secret of the landlubber's treasure. Not only is it the best treasure we could ever have, but it's a treasure you can never lose. And I wonder if that's treasure that you have in your life. Have you ever wondered just how different your life would be if you weren't always wanting to have more or different or better things? If you weren't always having to fight or stress or squabble to get it? If you weren't always worrying that then you were going to lose it? If you weren't always struggling to try and keep it? If you weren't always afraid that one day all the wanting and fighting and worrying and struggling was going to catch up with you? Well, imagine how different, how better your life would be without those things. Multiply it 100 times. That's how much better your life is as a landlubber rather than as a pirate. That's how much better your life is if you've got your feet on solid ground, on Jesus Christ, rather than being lost and adrift on the waves of life. Maybe it's time that some of the rest of us gave up our life on the wind and the waves, gave up being blown around the ocean until we drown, and came to live on that solid ground, Jesus Christ himself. Let's practice our memory verse together, shall we? Because that's a good way to sum things up. It would be good if I can remember what even the first word of that memory verse is. It starts with nothing, is that right? Is that right? Shall we say it together, children? Nothing is as wonderful as knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have given up everything else and consider it all rubbish. All I want is Christ.